There's a difference between walking among people and walking with people. Many of us walk through this world surrounded by people but feel distanced, while missing the connection and deep joy that is accompanied by walking with people. Most people choose to walk among people because life is demanding, calendars are busy, and connection is a bit scary. However, those who have experienced life with God and people know that this simple exchange in perspective makes a profound difference in how we engage life with greater purpose. In September, we're going to be launching a church-wide study, Jesus Speaks. It's going to be addressing the seven letters in the book of Revelation. And we would encourage you to jump in with us during this journey. You might be asking, what is a church-wide study? Well, each Sunday, we will take one of those letters in Revelation and we will address it, what it looks like and what it means. And for those who want to participate in the study, you will get a book. Each day, you will get a brief but meaningful thing to reflect on. And then you can gather with a group to be thinking about the truths that are stirring inside of you and how you could share that with the life you're living with people. This would be a great season for you to walk with God and with people. You can take the month of August online or in our lobbies to explore what group would work best for you and your schedule. I hope you'll prioritize your fall to walk with us on this journey. As we prepare for the church-wide study, let us allow the MOVE series to help us with that. Let's explore how Jesus' kingdom movement is bigger than just changing a person. It embodies transforming a people.
One of my very favorite experiences in life that I'm grateful for is riding down the face of a wave, right? You guys know surfing analogy is coming because I'm here. It's what I do. It's what I love. And I'm just always thinking about how amazing it is, that moment that you're out in God's creation and there's this energy, there's this power that's thrusting you forward. It really is something that you've got to experience if you ever get a chance. You're moving down the face of the water in the ocean and it's like almost effortless, weightless, and yet there's just so much forward movement, so much momentum, and it kind of just takes your breath and your stomach away and you're just like, wow, this is really incredible. And it's a really neat experience. And like I said, when you're there in that moment, you're kind of moving to stay on the wave, but it kind of feels effortless. And so how is it that I'm like in this moment of just kind of like floating there and being and moving, and yet there's so much power? It's just a very surreal thing. But when you watch the clips, if you've ever seen videos of surfing and you see, you know, guys and gals doing this stuff, it looks kind of cool, like they're flowing around, but it's hard to miss the fact that to get to that moment, to get to that feeling of weightlessness and power and energy and movement, there is an incredible amount of work that goes into it. You got to make sure that you are in the right place. You've got to make sure that you're where you need to be to catch that wave. And then you've got to paddle, paddle, paddle. And I mean, after a long day of surfing, I mean, your arms are just noodles. You absolutely have nothing left. You can almost barely get your taco to your mouth because it's like you're just totally spent, because it really takes a lot of work and energy to get to that point where you catch the wave. But then once you catch it, it's totally worth it, because the power and the energy that then takes over and moves you, it's like nothing else. So check out this clip. I just want to give you a little bit of a visual, because you've seen the dancing and the surfing. Maybe you saw some in the Olympics, or dancing along the face of the wave. But look at how he's looking left, looking right, got to dig, and then pop up, and now you got to pump, and now you're dropping in. Okay, that's a pretty good size wave. Here's a little bit bigger one. Dig. You see they're digging in, trying to just move forward, until you can catch that wave, and now the fun part, right? Check this out. This next one, I'll show you the point of view from paddling, right? You're digging, you're eating a whole bunch of water, you're trying to catch your breath, and then the payoff. And that right there is a view that's kind of hard to explain. I love the GoPros, because now you can kind of catch an idea of what that looks like, and that is something that it just doesn't get any better than that, right? And so you're digging in, and you're paddling, and you're trying your best to align yourself with the momentum of that wave as it comes. Because you've got to have a little bit of forward progress to catch it. Otherwise, all that happens is the wave comes and it lifts you up for a second, and then it drops you back down. And you're like, well, that was pretty underwhelming, right? And you're just kind of like, I don't get this, right? No, you have to know where to be and what to do in order to align with that wave and get that forward momentum. But once you catch it, it's moving, and it's awesome. Friends, the kingdom of God is on the move. It is moving. The question is not whether or not God's kingdom is moving, because Jesus said it was. He says, I've come to bring the kingdom. The kingdom of God is now at hand. And in Christ, the kingdom has come. It is still coming, and it's yet to come. And that's why we've been talking about this move series, is because we want to be moving with God's kingdom, with the kingdom of King Jesus. We want to be in a line with it. We want to be in the places where we can see it coming and we can move with it and catch it. And then that power that's so much farther beyond what we could ever do takes over, and it's an amazing experience in life, right? It's life to the full, as Jesus said. I want you to have life to the full. And so how do we align ourselves with the kingdom of Jesus? How do we make sure that we are where we need to be, with who we need to be, and that we're paddling, that we're digging in, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll get into a little bit more background on the churches in Ephesus that Paul is writing to when we get into our Revelation study here in a few weeks, because one of the letters in the, one of the churches in Revelation that received one of the letters from Jesus is the church at Ephesus. And so we'll talk a little bit more about the background, but here's what you need to know. They're in a culture that's very diverse, not too far from, you know, kind of some of the things we would resonate with in our culture, and they are people that have come to believe in who Jesus was. And Paul had invested in them. They're growing as a church. The question really is, in light of everything that Jesus has done for us, how then do we live in relationship with God and in relationship with others? And so Paul is encouraging them and challenging them and equipping them. And he's just really, he goes deep into everything Jesus has done for us. And I just want to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Read a little passage for you here, and then we'll dig into it. Paul says, for this reason, okay, so in light of all that Christ has done, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, King Jesus is awesome, right? And elevated. And Paul is praying for them and thanking God for them. And he's wanting them to have the eyes of their hearts enlightened, just so you can see and catch a glimpse of all that Christ has won for us and all that he is and all that he's doing in this world. And he talks about this glorious inheritance that the saints have. And throughout Ephesians, throughout the rest of the letter, Paul is going to say so many times, he talks about how we're in Christ, we live in him. It's 37 times in this short letter he mentions and makes reference to us being in Christ or in him. It's really, really important that we understand that, abiding in him, living in him, that you know what it's like when somebody really gets into something, right? And it's like that becomes everything to them, right? It's like, how do we see ourselves in Jesus to where that the life that we have in him, it's not I that live anymore, it's Christ living in me now. What does it look like to live like that? And his language here is beautiful. We kind of got to read through it slowly and carefully. I would encourage you to read through Ephesians this week, you know, or get your audio Bible out and put it on, just listen. It's an amazing thing that Paul walks us through here. And what he's hoping to express, I think, is almost hard to put into words, right? It almost needs to be experienced if you want to really get a taste of it. And so he's trying to help us understand what it's like to live in light of what Christ has done in peace with God and peace in relationship with others. And that's the question. How do we live in light of the victory of Jesus, okay, and the enthronement of Jesus and the kingdom of Jesus coming? And I want to point out a very important word that he uses several times here in chapter 1, and it's right there in verse 18. Paul already mentioned it twice in verse 11 and verse 14, but it's inheritance, right? This idea of inheritance that we've received from Jesus. I don't know about you, if you've ever received an inheritance, it's a pretty amazing thing when all of a sudden you find out, like, you know, you have inherited this huge fortune. I got this email the other day. Somebody over some other nation, whatever, wanted to let me know. I had no idea I was related to royalty. I had no idea. Like, I mean, it just blew my mind. And I'm really glad that we're talking about it now, because I forgot to reply. I probably need to email that guy back and be like, yeah, okay, you know, how do we do this, you know? Just kidding. This inheritance that Paul is talking about is not a scam email. This is actually a real inheritance that we have in Christ. Riches untold, but there's a difference here. We think of an inheritance, and sometimes we think of the movies, the shows, or the stories of the celebrities who just inherit a fortune, and then they just sit and they want to spend it all on themselves, but that's not at all the kind of inheritance that we have from Jesus. You know, and please don't come asking me for money. That was a joke, and I'm pretty sure it's a scam. I did not inherit that. I'm not a Nigerian prince, although, you know, if I was, I'd probably try to share it with everybody. Maybe I'd email. I don't know. I'm a little conflicted. Maybe I should reply and see what happens. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. There's that inheritance. In verse 14, Paul says that the Holy Spirit is actually a guarantee or a down payment of that inheritance. And catch this, until we acquire possession of it. That's cool. Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, and we just read this, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, this inheritance that we've received, it's a really important thing for us to understand who we are in Christ and whose we are and what we have in this life now that we've inherited this kingdom. But it's a kingdom mission we've inherited. Catch this. You know, people who inherit something have a choice, right? Do I hoard it all to myself and just spend it on myself and just say, like, well, that's pretty sweet. Look at that. All these things that have been given to me that I never could have earned. I couldn't have done it on my own. And it's just mine now. I think I'll just spend it on myself. Or you think of somebody who inherits a fortune and says, what can I do in this world to make the most with what I've been gifted? How can I multiply this? How can I share this with others? Maybe that's where the real life is found. And so these are the two options we have. And believe it or not, we actually have those two options with the inheritance we've received from Jesus. Okay? We can choose to just take Jesus and keep him to ourselves, right? Or we can go on mission, you see, because we didn't just inherit a family fortune, we inherited a family business. We're not going to be the kids who sit around hoarding it to ourselves. We're going to be the kids who inherit that fortune and say, like, okay, now what can we do to grow this and expand this and pass this on to the next generation and welcome as many people into this as we can? And I want you to catch this. This is important, okay? I want you to hear this today, because when we talk about working in the family business, we talk about paddling to catch the wave of the kingdom. I'm not talking about earning grace. This is not about earning grace, but it is about experiencing grace. Because the grace we've been giving is not something that we work to receive, that's true, but it's also something that we do receive in order to get to work. It's a grace that we've been given so that we can move forward with God's kingdom. We can do the things that Jesus has called us to do. We can be obedient to him in that way and experience full life. And it's not to pay it back to him. It's to pay it forward for him. And so some of us have taken up that inheritance and are doing our best to live it out and share it with others. And then others struggle to do that. Now, sometimes it's in our selfishness that we would say, I just kind of do my own thing, right? But I think a lot of us, when we struggle to live out that inheritance and jump in on the family business, it's because we just really don't know how. We don't see ourselves as being in that mission, right? So I want to unpack that a little bit. But either way, what we want to do is make sure that if all we're doing is just talking about Jesus and Jesus stuff, that we transition into living in Jesus and moving in Jesus. Okay, not just talking about him, but living and moving in him and being a part of the kingdom work. Think for a second about your dream job. I don't know if you have a dream job. Maybe some of you are living and working your dream job, and I think that's really, really cool. When you think about your dream job, it's almost kind of like it's not work, right? Because you enjoy doing it so much that you picture like, man, if I got to do that all the time, I'd probably be able to do it, you know, a lot and never really feel like, oh, I'm just done with this because I'm so into it. Like it's something that like gives me life and fills me up, and the work itself is energizing, right? You know, when we think of heaven sometimes, we think of this time of rest, which it really will be, but it won't be rest in the sense that we're not doing anything. Okay, God didn't stop and rest on the seventh day of creation because he was tired. He's like, dude, I need a break. No, it was a rest. It was a pause to say like, man, this is so good. This is good work. And then that work resumed. Okay, that work resumes as he's working through his people, that he gives them the kingdom and says like, now guys, now we're going to do this together, because you see, God is always, this is the dream of God. When you look through the scripture, he's always wanted a family for his family business. That's the mission of God. And our dream job can and should be to look forward to the ways in which we could advance his mission and his kingdom through our lives together. And the difference in heaven is not that we won't be doing work. I think the picture in the Bible is that no, heaven is going to be, there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff happening as we continue to live in and grow and watch the kingdom of God unfold as it fully comes in its realization. The difference is we won't be tired anymore. We won't get sick anymore. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more dissension. There'll be no more conflict. There'll be no more of those kind of things, right? And each one of us, according to how we're gifted and wired, like God is going to work through us as we all live in that kingdom life and enjoy it. And so we get to do more than just dress rehearsal. That's why we're in the series of move. You know, like let's move with what God is doing, because this is not just like we're pretending that we're going to move the kingdom forward. We're not just in a dress rehearsal. We are actually seeing God's kingdom move in and through his people. His kingdom work is happening all around us. Even when we can't see it, he's working. And so we've been given this kingdom, we've been given this work, this family business we've inherited, and we're not gonna hoard it to ourselves. We are going to, each one of us, be a part of moving it forward. And it's cool because, you know, this is not a spectator sport, that if you've inherited this family business is the riches of Christ, then you have a part in the business of sharing that with others, right? Each one of us has a part in that mission. Not all the same part, but an important part. As Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus goes on, he explains how that work is actually going to be accomplished. How the kingdom of God is going to move through his people, how we're going to actually run this family business. And there's two metaphors that he uses that are really cool. One of them is, so we could talk about bodybuilding really, because one of them is body, one of them is a building. I think that's kind of funny. I don't know how many bodybuilders we have. Everybody's doing CrossFit now, but when I was a kid, it was like bodybuilding is what they called it, right? And it makes me think of that, but it's kind of actually a good analogy. You think about strengthening and doing hard things with intention, and the next thing you know, things that used to be hard are just really easy and light, right? But Paul uses these two metaphors. One is of the body of Christ building on the foundation. He actually likens us to a temple being built up for God, you know, where heaven can meet earth through our lives, right? And so let's take a look at Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. This is where he talks about us as the church being a building. Says this, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." There's the family business. "Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Isn't that a cool picture? Is that we, as God's family, as his kids, as his church, we are like this building, which he uses temple illustration, right? The temple was where like heaven meets earth, where God would be present and people could come and say, "Whoa, he's real. And I see that he's real because he's showing up and things are happening in this space that don't happen anywhere else." It's undeniable, the presence of God in this place. And Paul says, that's what we're supposed to be like. And it's like this building, it's really cool. You've got a foundation layer, right? And that's Jesus, the cornerstone foundational piece that everything is built on. If you try to build on something else, it's gonna crumble, but you build on him and it's a solid, secure foundation. For your lives, yes, personally, but for our life collectively as a church, we build on that foundation of Jesus and those who walked with him, the apostles, and then the next generation builds up that next layer, right? And then the next generation, you know, just story by story, layer by layer. And what's really cool is that for us, in each one of our lives, we build up our layer, right? And then so like, I build on the floor that was laid before, and then boom, I reach my ceiling, right? And then it's my time to go home. And guess who gets to build on that? The next generation of people. Not just physical, like children generation, but like those who come into Christ after us, right? Our kids and anyone else we can lead to Christ. My ceiling becomes their floor. And that's where they get to start and keep building up and building up and building up. And here's the deal. We are that building where people can look and say, that's where God shows up. It's our lives. It's not a physical space in one locale. It's actually all over the world. Anytime people are doing what Paul is talking about here and living in Christ, people can look around and say like, man, I am having so much trouble seeing that there's a God and that he's in control and that he has a good plan for it. Like the world just seems to be crumbling and falling apart. But I cannot deny that his presence is with these people, that they would look and they'd see the news and say like, man, everything is telling me to believe that it's game over. And yet I cannot deny that he's real because I'm watching what he's doing in this community of people, in this family of people. And man, I want to be in that family, right? And that's the illustration of like heaven meeting earth in our lives. And that's what Paul says, we're the building, we're the temple of God. He says that we're the body of God as well, right? The body of Christ, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." We're a body functioning together, right? Have you ever stubbed your toe? It's like you don't think pinky toes are that big of a deal. You don't really need them until like you stub them. You're like, oh, I'm going to die. You know, it's like, you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, like, ouch, you know, because it's all connected and every part of your body has a function. And whenever somebody is, you know, like whenever a part of the body is not functioning, we say that person's sick, right? And we try to remedy that and we try to get that reconnected and healing and working all together again, right? And so that's the illustration that Paul is using. We're not just the building of Christ, this temple of God in this world where people can see him show up, but we are the physical presence of Christ in this world when we live as his body together, connected with one another, living in health, everything in sync, moving with the kingdom of God. People look and say like, man, that's it right there. I believe Jesus is real because I saw him today. I can't explain it, but I saw him in those people. I saw him in that person. And so we need to be connected so that the building doesn't topple. We need to be connected so that the body can be healthy. We're a body. We're a building. We're the body in the building of Christ, right? cool thing about this is, and Paul goes on to say more about this, is that it's not just a couple of body parts or a couple of parts of the building that are doing this work. It's actually the entire thing. It's every single person, every single brick in that building, every single member of that body working together that's going to move the mission forward. And so if you believe in him, and if you've pledged your allegiance to King Jesus, it's part of your inheritance in him to be in on the mission, right? And I just want to encourage you that Paul, just like he says, I'm so grateful for, you know, all of you in Ephesus. I personally am grateful for Madison Park. It's been 9 years now that we've been here, and we've never loved a church so much or been cared for and loved by a church so much. We just love this body, and I just want to share with you, as we've been through a pandemic, we've been regathering and looking at the future with a lot of question marks. Personally, from me to you, I just look and I say, like, if Madison Park Christian Church wants to, if we're willing, we can be one of those churches that, I mean, it's already starting to happen, but I can just see this amazing thing where it's not just a few people doing the cool stuff with everybody else cheering them on, that it's just everybody. Like, what it means to be a part of this is that I know my place in the mission, and I'm living that out. I'm riding that wave, and it's awesome, and it's bringing life and purpose and energy, and I can see us growing into a very, very mature kind of church. And why do I say growing into? Because we're so close, but there are still little pockets here and there. What we find is like a flip side of what Paul is saying. See, Paul says here in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, I'll read this. This is a really important verse for us to hear as a church. He says, he's talking about how some people in the church are gifted and called to certain things and leaderships. And he says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, catch this, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So he's playing in that building analogy, that body. We're going to build it up. It's the body of Christ. We're building up the body. But all those leaders, they're not the ones that do the mission. No. They are called and gifted and empowered to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And you know who a saint is, okay? A lot of times we like revere and honor Christians from the past that really were incredibly faithful to Jesus, and that's not a bad thing to do. But let's not make the mistake of thinking there's some other category of Christ follower that's a saint, and then there's the rest of us. No, we're all, this is Paul saying, all of us, saint means set apart and holy. If you are in Christ, you are set apart. You are one of the saints. And it's when all of the saints are in on the mission is when things are really awesome. And that's when the church is really moving and thriving and we're all experiencing that life together in Christ. Paul encourages us to remember that we all get a part in this mission. No one person or team of people can create community for everyone else. And I have to confess, there's been times here where it's like, I want to be the guy with our team to say, like, hey, you come to us and you let us know what you need and we'll do that for you, because we want to love and serve our church. But what I found is that that's not quite how it works. The best way that we can help you experience community, especially in group life and all this, is to say, like, hey, how can we help you get into a group where you can participate together in this? Because community can't really be prefabricated and then just handed off. It's got to be experienced as you grow it together, right? It's like paddle, 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 right? We'll try to get each other in the right position, just like when we're out there surfing, but like you can't really push somebody else onto the wave. You can only help get them in position and then say, okay, paddle, 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 and catch it. And we've all got to do our part. The kingdom of God is indeed moving. And let me encourage you, if you are new to church or if you've been a part of church for a little bit, but you haven't really quite felt it moving in and through you yet, or you're like, man, I'm interested. I want to hope in that, but like, I haven't really experienced it yet. I it's almost kind of like that, meh, you know, church is kind of meh sometimes. If you're wondering what's missing from church, it might be you. It might be that you're observing and watching, but you're not in on the family business yet, if that makes sense. And you might not be moving, you might not be paddling to catch what God is doing around you. And so we want to help as much as we can to make sure that everybody's in a place where they can catch the wave of what God is doing and catch the mission that he is accomplishing through his church. And so we want to welcome people into community. And I'll say this, it's really difficult sometimes in these moments. I see what it could look like for each one of us to be living out our part in this mission and how beautiful that would be for just all hands on deck, everybody asking that question, God, what are you up to right now and how can I be a part of it? But I can't stand up here and say, here's your next step, here's your next step, here's your next step, here's... That's not how it works. We collectively have to explore this together. We have to get into some smaller groups, into some you know, more close-knit conversations where we can talk about the things that matter the most. Talk about the ways that we're wrestling with faith, that we are experiencing faith, that we are hoping towards a future together. That's why we're really encouraging you to jump in with us this fall into this church-wide study, because we want to hear from Jesus together. And there's no way that one of us can stand up and say, hey, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to do, you know. But when we spend a few weeks together and beyond that even, just circling up with a small group of friends or just grabbing a friend and saying, hey, can we talk about some of these things that matter? It's in those moments that God shows up among his body and says, here's your part in the mission, and here's what Jesus wants to give you as part of your inheritance. And there's healing, and there's hope, and there's all of these amazing benefits, but one of the greatest benefits is that we get to move with the kingdom of God. So some of you need to jump into a group that's already, you know, kind of been coordinated. We're saying, hey, we got space for you. Like, go jump in that group. Please, please do that. Others are like, I don't know what my schedule is going to, I don't know if I can do that, but here's what I'll commit to doing. I'll grab a friend and we'll talk about these things. Guess what? That's how you start a group, right? Where two or more are gathered, okay? So we want to help you with all of that, but we can't do it for you. We want to help you get into a position, help you get into a place where you can catch it, and then see you paddle, 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 so that you can pop up and experience what it's like to feel the kingdom of God moving through your life.